welcome to Tune to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Westerns coming up in this hour. Later on, we'll enjoy Gunsmoke from 1954. But right now, Raymond Burr stars as Captain Lee Quince in Fort Laramie, a CBS broadcast directed by Gunsmoke director Norman McDonald from August 19, 1956. The story, Goodbye Willa.
At the gallop! Follow! Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
There's a good campsite ahead, Major.
How far are we from Fort Laramie, Captain?
About 25 miles, sir.
That far?
At least.
25 miles and about an hour of daylight. Guess we'll have to make camp.
It's your patrol, Major.
What do you think?
I think we're pushing too hard. We've covered a lot of territory in the last couple of days. The men are tired. It's telling on them.
That's your campsite, half a mile ahead?
Yeah, that's it, sir.
One more night of making camp. That doesn't bother you, does it, Captain?
After 6 weeks of it, no, sir. One more night doesn't bother me.
This is what I'm talking about, Lee. Listen to the men a while.
Eating over there? That's Horner and Furnace.
Doesn't matter who they are, just listen to them.
You know what I do? No. We're going to be out one more night, Horner.
We were going to be out one more night. Wouldn't be no concern of mine what you do, because I wouldn't be here.
Well, you'd be here.
You have to find somebody else to jaw to, Furnace. I'd just start walking. First woman I come to, red or white, I'd say, you go fetch a parson, woman. You got yourself a man.
Ain't Bessie going to be glad to hear that. You're not married a year. You're already talking about another woman.
You know how much I've been with Bessie since we were married? Out 6 weeks this time, 3 months of time before, and before that it was... I don't even know. What good's having a wife you got to say how to do all over again 3-4 times a year?
I never should have asked you no question. You don't want to hear me. You just want to hear you.
You got something worth my hearing?
I'm getting to know this soup bone awful well. We was going to be out one more night. I carved my initials on it. And if it come floating into my supper tomorrow night, I'd take it to that cook and
That's all you got on your mind, soup bones?
I married Lizzie for her cooking. She's a powerful good cook.
When you get back to Fort Laramie, you're going to take one look at Lizzie and say, what's for dinner?
I like a good meal.
Oh, man, like you don't deserve no wife.
Well, Lizzie likes to cook.
Got so I can't remember, can Bessie cook or can't she? But I got no trouble recollecting Bessie herself. Oh, I'm sure going to admire seeing her again.
Come on, Quince.
Wonder what Lizzie's planning for supper tomorrow night.
You still think we've been pushing them too hard, Captain?
Well, I still think they're tired.
And more homesick.
That might be.
I know, because I'm homesick, too. 6 weeks is a long time. It's a lot longer if you have someone waiting for you. A lot easier, too. Does that make sense, Lee?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Furnace feels it, and Horner, all the married men on the patrol. They all say it different ways, but what they feel is close to what I feel. Tomorrow night at this time, I'll be home with Mary. What about you, Lee.
I'll be glad to get back, Major.
Why?
I like sleeping in a bed.
I'm serious. It's lonely country, the West. I don't think I could stand it without Mary. I need her. I guess I'm saying I'm not really complete without her.
Mary's a fine woman.
You don't understand, do you, Lee? Horner, Furness, or me?
I can't understand what I don't know, Major, but sometimes I can get a feeling for it. I can see how it'd be pretty good to have someone waiting.
Patrol! Attention! Dismiss.
Lizzie!
Hey,
Lizzie, what you got for supper?
Hey, Bessie! Bessie, girl, is that you?
Mary!
What you got for supper?
Captain Quince?
Yes, Gord?
Well, you ain't forgetting about tonight.
Oh, what about tonight?
Well, we talked some of a poker game.
Oh, yeah, that's right, we did.
Of course, who we get to play might be a problem. Can't count on any of the married men.
No. No, we can't.
I don't know how they put up with it, Captain.
What's that, Gorse?
Well, look at them. Women hanging on their necks, squealing, giggling. Some of them crying, even. If I come back to that after 6 weeks of campaign, I just might join some Injun tribe.
You'd sooner come home to a squealing, giggling squaw, would you?
I'd sooner come home to nothing, just like I do.
Yeah, that's the difference, then.
What do you mean?
Look again, those men with the women on their necks. They don't look like they mind a bit.
No, they sure don't.
You dead set on that poker, Gorse?
Well, we could slick up some, go into the village. That cooking at the hotel ain't too bad. Well, you ain't keen on any plan for tonight, are you, Captain?
I guess I'm tired.
Sure.
Gorse, we
can play poker any time, Captain. You know, that's the beauty of being single. We're free to do what we want anytime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
Well, I'll see you, sir.
Sure, Gorse.
Hello, Lee.
Miss Willa?
I heard you were expected back today. You look tired.
You look fine.
Do I?
Just fine. Miss Willa, I...
Yes, Lee?
I guess you're busy.
Well, just a little. Dad's in Cheyenne for a few days, but I'll be closing up in a little while.
You want to take dinner with me?
I'd like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like that, too. Well, I... You sure look fine, Miss Willa.
Do I?
Fine.
About 7, Lee?
Yeah, about 7.
I'll be ready. Oh, Lee, I've got to get back to Mrs. Doolittle.
Sure, you do that. Miss Willa.
Yes, Lee?
It's sure good to be home.
You don't look like the same man who came into the store this afternoon.
I'm bound to weigh less, just shaving.
Well, I think maybe beards are for presidents, like Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Grant, not for cavalry captains.
Yeah, not for this one, anyway.
Now, you might look very dashing with a mustache.
That'd be a plain fraud, Willa, to look it and not be dashing.
Mrs. Doolittle thought you looked dashing with a full beard today.
I should have asked her to dinner, seeing she'd take me as I am.
Everybody takes you as you are, Lee. Or not at all.
Is that the way it is?
That's the way it is.
This coffee's a sight better than I've been used to.
It's dreadful coffee.
Huh?
If I didn't think it'd scare you to death, I'd offer to make you some real coffee when you see me home.
Coffee never scares me to death.
But we have an unwritten rule about mentioning my homey little talents, like coffee making.
Oh, you don't have to mention them. I hear about them. Mary Daggett's told me all about the light crusts on your berry pies. Liz Mead never fails to point out how you sew a fine seam and keep your father's house the tidiest on the post.
Poor Lee.
Oh, I don't suffer too much.
I'm not sure you suffer enough.
Well, maybe that's it. Pliny's in Cheyenne, you say?
I think he'll be back day after tomorrow.
You tending the store all alone, then?
I haven't minded. It's filled the days. And when I get too busy, I call for Liz Mead or one of the men around. A lot of folks will lend a hand if I need them.
You reckon you could get someone to take over tomorrow?
You mean all day?
To get where the hunting's good will take all day.
Oh, I bet all my hunting equipment is packed.
Packed?
Oh,
no.
Yes, I hadn't gone hunting for a while, so I just sort of stored it away in an old trunk with some old clothes, you know. Not that I can't get it out again without the least trouble.
Ah, it doesn't sound like you, Willie. You go hunting, fishing, right regular.
I know, but... Oh, well, none of this matters. Because if you're asking me to go hunting with you tomorrow, I accept. You let me worry about unpacking that old trunk.
You still like hunting?
Of course I do.
Yeah. I thought maybe we'd ride up around Laramie Peak. It's kind of pretty up that way. Yeah, it'd be good for you if you've been stuck in the store a lot lately.
It'll be good. And I'll love it, Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be nice. If you want to bring any of that coffee you're so handy with, why, it's all right with me.
You, Captain Quest?
Ah. Seems to be Mr. Seibert's.
You all right, sir?
I feel fine, Lieutenant.
Well, I don't believe I've ever heard you whistle before.
Huh. Was I whistling?
It must have been you. Everyone else is asleep.
Yeah. Maybe we better go into my room, Mr. Seibert's. Wouldn't want to wake everyone in old Bedlam.
I'll just stay a moment. You understand, Captain, it's all right with me about the whistling.
Oh, that's good.
I probably wouldn't even have heard you, except it being so warm tonight, I left my door open.
Yeah, I guess it is a warm night.
Now, I didn't see it myself, so naturally I didn't believe it when all the other officers were talking about it at dinner.
Lieutenant, you making any sense?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, first night back after 6 weeks of campaign, a man's entitled to celebrate any way he likes.
Yes, sir, I believe that.
Little too much brandy after dinner, maybe?
What, me? No, sir, just one.
Well, then, why aren't you making any sense?
No, I was talking about you, Captain.
I didn't even have one brandy.
Captain, the talk is that right after dismiss orders today, you walked off the parade ground straight to the sutler's store.
Well?
After that, you took a long bath and a shave, called for Miss Willa, and took her into the village for dinner at the hotel.
What do we got here, officers on picket duty?
Do you mind, Captain? Is all this true?
It's true, Mr. Seibert's. Also true is I'm pretty tired. Good night.
And it was you whistling just now.
You making out some kind of report?
No, sir. I just want to be sure of the facts, that's all.
They seem to be in order, Mr. Seibert's.
I don't believe it. I mean, I can hardly believe it, and I sure didn't believe it when it was told to me at dinner.
You feel pretty bad about this?
No, not bad. I was just sure that they were all wrong. So sure, I bet $5 they were wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
You never did it before, did you? Right from the parade grounds to call on Miss Willa?
I don't know.
It's not like you.
I don't know what that means. Well, I told you it's late. I'm tired, Mr. Savage.
Well, I can't help asking, Captain. Does all this mean something?
Well, all right. Yes, it does mean one thing.
Yes, sir?
You lost $5. Good night, Mr. Seibert.
Did you see that, Lee?
Yeah, beautiful shot, Willa.
Now, what am I going to do with an antelope?
Ah, you could roast it.
And feed all of Fort Laramie. He ought to be right through here.
Hmm. pronghorn antelope, Willie. And a beauty. Mm. Now all you gotta do is figure out how to get him back to the post.
It's all been so pleasant today, I just supposed I had a gentleman with me.
You got a hunter. There's a difference.
I know. A fisherman cleans his own fish. A hunter takes care of his own game. When you take up rod and rifle, you're not a man or a woman. You're a fisherman or a hunter.
You shouldn't complain, Willow. You're good at both of them. You want to rest a while?
You won't hold it against me as being too feminine or anything like that.
There's a stream over there. Some nice, soft boulders to stretch out on.
I'd think you'd be tired, Lee, 6 weeks out in a country like this.
I don't get tired of country like this.
Don't get tired of rifles? Sidearms?
Oh, that's a difference. Hunting people, hunting game. Well, which boulder looks best to you?
This one's fine.
You want some water?
No, thanks.
Hey, look, Willa. Trout in that stream.
Mm-hmm. And the poles are back with the horses. And here's one fisherman who's not going back for them.
Oh, I'm satisfied they're just there in the stream. Hey, this is quite a spot to just come on to without planning.
It's beautiful.
Food, water, sun, shade. There's caves back into the canyon along the stream. You know, a man could live right here and never want for a thing.
A man could, I guess.
Sure he could. What does he need that isn't here?
I won't say it.
I like it here just fine.
You would, too. Until one day a cavalry troop would ride nearby, or you'd hear someone sound taps from a camp at night. Oh, you'd come running out of your cave, all right.
Maybe.
You know you would. I can't imagine you away from the army.
I haven't been for a long, long time. Sometimes, like now, I think I wouldn't mind leaving.
To do what?
Live like this. Hunting, fishing, making trails, seeing where they lead. Stopping where I want, starting when I want.
You would, wouldn't you? You'd live like this, and like it just fine. You wouldn't be lonely or need anything, or anybody.
I don't plan that.
You make me sick.
Do I?
Well, yes, sometimes you do. And sometimes you don't. And that makes me sick.
Hey, what's the matter, Willa? I thought we were having a good day.
We were. We are. I'm sorry, Lee. I don't want to spoil anything. Today especially.
I don't either.
Well, then, help a fellow hunter with her antelope, will you?
Sure, Willa. Sure. It's right here, Gorse, on the left forefoot.
Sure is. She's telling us all about it, ain't she? The shoe's loose.
Yeah, but the real hurt's under the shoe. Something's worked its way under there, pebble maybe. That's why she's pulled up lame.
Mm-hmm. Well, between the smithy and the men, they'll get her fixed up fine. Furnace!
Yes, Sergeant?
You see this mare gets to the blacksmith. Left forefoot, shoe's loose.
I'll tell him, Sergeant.
Mind she gets good care, that's Miss Willa's mare.
I will.
She sure sets it real pretty, too, Captain.
Yeah, she does.
You suppose she'll get rid of her now?
You don't get rid of a mare because she pulls up lame.
Well, I didn't mean that. I meant seeing she won't be here. Pliny's not a hand to ride. Not that he could handle
seeing
it.
Seeing who won't be here?
Well, Miss Willa.
Now, why won't she be here?
Well, if she moves to San Francisco, she won't be here. You act like I'm telling you something you ain't heard tell of.
You are.
But you've been with her clean since we got back. Yesterday, all day, out hunting. Well, don't look at me like that. I'm just telling you what Mrs. Meade told me.
It's all right, Gorse.
The way I understand, that's what Pliny's doing in Cheyenne, getting her set up on the train.
Oh?
You mean you was out there all day yesterday and she didn't mention this to you? Didn't you talk none?
Yeah, I talked. About living in a cave.
I've been worried.
It's only me, ma'am. I come to tell you I can't find him anywhere.
I wonder where he went. Oh, please come in, Sergeant Gorse.
Thank you kindly, ma'am, but I ain't had my supper yet. Neither is the captain. Leastwise, not at Old Bedlam. I talked to Lieutenant Syberts over there. He says none of the officers have seen him since morning.
You must be the last one to see him, then, at the stables.
No, ma'am. Furness said he come back later and rode off. He didn't say nothing, just rode off. About noon, that was.
Funny. I started to say it's not likely, but it's just like him, isn't it, Sergeant? Riding off alone without a word to anyone.
Oh, it ain't that he can't take care of himself, Miss Willa.
No. It's not that. Well, please go have your supper. Thanks for your trouble.
No trouble, ma'am. And don't you fret now, you hear?
I won't. Good night, Sergeant.
Evening, Gorse.
You in one piece, Captain Quince?
Yeah, I think so.
I've been looking for you most of the afternoon. I missed my supper poking around hunting for you.
Missed mine, too. I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was.
I believe you.
Sorry about your supper.
No matter about that. I just missed food. Miss Willa now, she missed you.
You sure you want to talk out here, Lee?
Yeah. What I got to say, well, it'll come easier without these lamps on. You can sit if you like.
Thank you. You, Lee?
No, I'm going to stand.
You know, I tried to tell you myself. Last night when we got back from hunting, I couldn't believe I hadn't told you. But I kept thinking there'd be a time that it'd seem more right. And it just didn't come.
I put together some things today, like at dinner the other night, about things being packed away. And yesterday, before we left Laramie Peak, something about you not wanting to spoil things. That part's all right, Willa.
I hope so.
Willa, what's in San Francisco?
For me, a lot of things that aren't here. It's a life I don't know. A chance. A lot of chances I don't have here. Mostly, I guess it's everything that Fort Laramie isn't.
You tired of Fort Laramie?
I'm tired of me at Fort Laramie.
You?
Me.
Well, I want you to know I liked yesterday. I've been giving it a lot of thought today. I liked yesterday. I liked taking dinner with you the night I got back. I like knowing you'd be here.
I liked all that, too. But Lee...
No, you better let me talk while the words are coming. Today, I was going over it all. It seemed to me that... Well, there seemed to me there are a lot of things we like the same way, and...
Lee, don't. Don't say any more.
Well, it's not coming easy. I'm not saying it well. What I'm trying to say
is... I know what you're trying to say, and I don't want you to say it.
You don't?
Are you asking me to marry you, Lee?
I'm coming real close to
no.
that.
No. Don't come close. Don't say it.
All right.
How long, I wonder? I've wanted you to say it. I think I've prayed you'd ask me. Like all those times I prayed you'd come near me when you didn't. I've waited and wanted so long, Lee.
I'm not pretending to understand.
You said it yesterday. You liked stopping where you want, starting where you want. You like me when and where you want to. And you'll miss me when I go. But you don't love me. The way to a marriage. You know you don't.
You're saying no, Willa.
We're both saying no. Lee, if you hadn't heard I was going away, would you have come here to ask me?
Well, I don't know.
I know. Not tonight, or next week, or next year.
I'll miss you.
I'll miss you. I think I'll always miss you.
Yeah. Well, I'll say goodnight now.
Goodbye, Lee.
Bye, Willa.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Tom Henley. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Parley Bear, Dolores Pennard, and John Daner. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Fort Laramie, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 19, 1956 on CBS. The program was only on for 1 year in 1956, but proved to be Raymond Burr's nearly exclusive radio program. In that year, he stepped out of character of Captain Lee Quince and starred in two broadcasts of the CBS Radio Workshop, and on the second to last day of 1956, co-starred in an episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, again on CBS. You're listening to an hour of Radio Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for an episode of Gunsmoke, this from January 23rd, 1954, William Conrad and Parley Bear, starring the episode called Nina.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Doggone if Dodge ain't growed a heap since I was here.
It is very big, Scott.
Front Street must have 7-8 saloons. A lot of towns I've seen don't even have that many houses.
We are going to stay here?
Now, Nina, I told you not to fret yourself. Nobody's going to bother you. Well, look there. The Longhorn Saloon. You know, a man might find whiskey fit to drink in a place like that. Just drop your reins over the rack, Nina. Your old pony ain't about to go nowhere.
I will wait right here, Scuff.
Here in the dust and heat? Come on, get down off that old horse. You've been riding so long, you need to walk around some.
All right.
Anyway, it's cooler inside. If they got a ladies' parlor, you can set in there. Well, set on the porch. Come on. Sure, they got a parlor. There's a side door over there, Nina. You go on in and wait. Glass of rye, bartender.
Hold that drink, bartender. Maybe you picked the wrong place to drink, mister.
That's so?
Places down along the river let mixed women come in and sit.
I've heard tell.
Maybe that's where you better go.
Bartender, I ain't got my drink yet.
Mister, you don't understand what I said. That bartender ain't gonna give you no drink.
Maybe he is.
No, he ain't. This place don't serve nobody that walks in with no dirty Mexican.
All right, hold it.
Very well. Thank you.
Hold it! All right, you men, take Lawson out to a horse trough and soak his head for him. The rest of you get about your business. Come on.
You busted up what could have been a man-sized fight.
Well, fights like that lead to killings.
Darned if they don't.
You're a cool one, mister.
You get that way in my profession.
Oh, what's that?
Army scout. I'm on my way to Fort Wallace. What's yours?
United States Marshal. My name's Dillon.
I noticed they paid you a heap of attention. I'm Cuff Peters and proud to know you. Marshal, I want you to meet somebody. This here's Nina. She's my wife.
How do you do?
Ma'am?
Scott, I...
Nina and me been traveling quite a spell.
Oh? Where'd you ride from?
Come up from Texas. Figured we'd stay over here in Dodge if I can find a place. Nina's been feeling poorly.
How long do you figure on staying in Dodge, Cuff?
Can't rightly say, Marshal. Why?
Well, you, made trouble for yourself when you hit Hank Lawson.
That right.
It'll bother him, Cuff, and he'll be after you. I know you can't make Fort Wallace, so might be better if you and your wife rode out to Fort Dodge and stayed there.
He's right, Cuff. We should go on right now. We don't want no trouble.
You've been riding enough, the way you feel. Besides, I got things to do.
Look, Cuff, I don't want any trouble here.
I sure don't aim to cause any. Now, how about joining me in a drink, Marshal? I still got a glass of rye coming.
Dodge was real quiet for the next week, except when a drunked-up cowboy tried to burn the town down because he lost at a faro table. I kept an eye on Hank Lawson, but the trouble I'd been expecting between him and Cuff Peters seemed to blow over. Chester heard somewhere that Cuff had found a room for Nina and himself at the Widow Helgerson's place out at the edge of town. I didn't see Cuff again except once when he drove the Widow's buckboard into town, loaded it up with food and supplies, and drove back out. Then one morning while Chester was cleaning up the office, Cuff walked in.
Morning, Marshal.
Hello, Cuff. I never did get a chance to pay you back for that drink you bought me.
The time will come, Marshal.
Oh, Cuff, this is Chester Proudfoot. Cuff Peters.
Well, sir, I'm that proud, Mr. Peters.
Howdy.
Mr. Dillon told me how you knocked old Hank Lawson across the bar at the Longhorn. I sure do wish I'd seen that.
Chester isn't too fond of Hank.
Well, if I'm going to hit him again, I'll let you know.
Well, thank you. Marshal, what I come for was to get your help.
Oh, what is it, Cuff?
Well, I don't know much about doctors and all. They say you're a good friend to the one in town.
Oh, I've known Doc for a long time. What do you need?
Well, I'm not ailing, but Nina's feeling real puny.
Oh?
I think maybe someone should have a look at her. We ain't been married but 5-6 months. I don't understand much about women folk and their ailments.
Chester, run up and get Doc, will you?
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon. You see, Marshal, the thing that bothers me the most is that I got to start out for Fort Wallace right soon. I already stayed here longer than I intended.
Well, if your wife's sick, you can't take her with you on a ride like that.
That's what I want to know from the doc. Is she too sick to ride?
Well, you could leave her here. She could come on later.
Mm-hmm. I'd just pure hate to leave her behind if I didn't have to.
Hello, Matt. Where's the patient?
Doc, this is Cuff Peters, Doc Adams.
Howdy, dear, Mr. Peters.
Howdy.
Mr. Peters wants you to have a look at his wife.
I'm ready. My bag's by the door there.
Doc, maybe you ought to know, before you come with me, my wife's Mexican.
Well?
The only reason I mention it, some folks here seem to take exception.
Oh, for heaven's sake, standing here talking isn't going to help Mrs. Peters any if she's sick, you know. You ready to go, young fella?
I'm ready, Doc. Marshal, I want to thank you.
Sure, Cuff. Goodbye.
So long.
See you later, man.
He's a nice little fella, ain't he, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, he seems to be, Chester.
Hey, what's he do for a living?
He's an Army scout, he says. On his way out to Fort Wallace.
Well, I always had in mind that scouts was more tricky. Shucks, he's no more sly than me.
Don't let Cuff fool you, Chester. He's small, but he can take care of himself.
Well, one thing, he don't seem to let nothing upset him, none.
Well, he's worried about his wife, Chester. Plenty. Chester, you're going to get a bellyache.
I can't help it, Mr. Dillon. Ever since I was a little boy, I just get a craving for wheat cakes at supper.
4 servings?
Well, I... It does make up to quite a pile, don't it? but then that molasses kind of keeps them wetted down.
Oh, hello, Matt. Chester.
Sit down.
Hello, Doc.
Thank you.
Yeah, you gonna eat?
No, Matt, no. I ate out at Widow Helgeson's with the Cuff and his wife.
How is she, Doc?
She's resting easy. you know, she's a pretty little thing, Matt. Just as nice and sweet.
Yeah, she is.
What went wrong with her, Doc?
Nothing that won't be right in about 6 more months.
Well, that don't make sense, Doc.
She's gonna have a baby, Chester. She is. Well, it only took a minute to see that.
I guess Cuff meant it when he said he didn't know much about women.
Well, I should think a baby would be easy enough to tell about.
At Chester.
Oh, yes. Cuff sent a message to you, Matt. He's going on out to Fort Wallace. Says after he reports into the colonel and gets the place ready out there, he'll come back for Mrs. Peters.
Now, that's a 10-day ride there and back, Doc.
Well, I know, Matt. A little while. That's a...
I don't like Mrs. Peters staying alone here in Dodge.
Well, there's nothing to be worried about. She's in good hands here.
Yeah, but the Widow Huggison's an old lady, Doc. She wouldn't be much help to Nina.
Well, what kind of help would she be needing, Mr. Dillon?
More than an old lady could give him. If Hank Lawson finds out that she's alone here.
That's about everything, Mrs. Peters?
Yes. Hey, thank you.
I'll give you a hand out to the buckboard.
Oh, it's not that much. I can carry it.
Well, I'll get the door for you then, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Perry. good day.
Good day, ma'am.
Well, if it ain't Mrs. Peters come to town to do a week's shopping.
I beg your pardon?
Excuse me, ma'am. I ain't being very polite. This here's Kane Twigg. I'm Hank Lawson.
What do you want?
Now, surely you remember me, ma'am. You ought to. I was the fellow your husband hit in the mouth his first day in town.
I remember you. Now, let me pass.
Well, now, ain't I being a miserable cuss letting you carry all them heavy sacks? See, I help you some.
Please.
Just put him in the wagon for you.
Oh.
Oh, that was mighty careless of me to slip plumb out of my hands. I hope there was nothing in there to break.
Leave me alone, please.
Well, now, Mrs. Peters, I don't know why you're upset. You know I wouldn't do nothing to harm a fine lady like you. Besides, your husband might try to give me another lesson in manners, and that scares me real bad. I just want to show you how much I learned. Now, you go on and get into that buckboard. All we're going to do is just start you for home, Miss Peters. Untie them lines so we can face that team down the street.
Sure.
Now, like I say, ma'am, I don't want you to fret. Stand aside, Twig. All right, ma'am. Hang on.
She's all right, Matt. She's fine.
And the baby?
There wasn't anything I could do.
Those miserable, filthy beasts.
Take it easy.
Take it easy. What are you talking about, Matt? Those men should be...
No. Matt did all he could. He even roughed them up a little on the way to jail.
Oh.
And then yesterday morning, the judge fined them and turned them loose.
Fined them? Probably all of $50.
Kitty, be sensible.
You and your precious law. I'm sick of it.
You have to go by it, Kitty, whether it seems right or not.
I don't have to do nothing.
Now, Kitty, now, don't talk like that.
If I was a man, I'd shoot him in the belly.
Oh, now, Kitty.
Oh, leave me alone, both of you.
Kitty. Look, Kitty. Why don't you go in and talk with her, huh? She needs another woman, huh? Go on.
Nina, can I come in?
Oh, it's terrible, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do?
Now, there's nothing more I can do. Officially.
No, I guess that's right.
Look, Doc, I want you to keep Nina in your office. You can keep an eye on her there. Cuff will be back in a few days.
And then you will tell him?
Yeah. Yeah, then I'll tell him.
Chester?
Oh, Mr. Peters.
Cuff?
I just got back. Widow Helgeson says there's been an accident. I should come see you.
Well, your wife was hurt bad, Cuff, but she's better now, though.
Where is she?
She's up in Doc's office. Chester will show you.
I know the way.
Just makes me sick, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, he's likely been in his saddle all day, riding to get back to her. Then he gets here and...
How was she tonight?
Well, she ate the supper Kitty brought over.
That's more than she's done in a week. You know, I'd kindly hate to be Hank Lawson.
Have you seen him around?
Yes, sir. Him and Twig been hanging around the Longhorn. Hank asked me, was anybody looking for him? Then he laughed.
What'd you say to him?
Nothing, like you told me. I just walked on out.
Yeah, good.
What do you figure Cuff will do, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know.
Cuff's so mild and quiet and all. But I got a feeling he'd be mighty mean if once he got riled.
I want to thank you, Marshal, for all you and Chester and Doc done for Nina.
I'm sorry, Cuff.
Now, I wonder if you'd hold my gun for me.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going to look for Hank Lawson, and I'm going to mock him. Mock him good.
That way somebody's going to get hurt.
That's a fact, Marshal.
Look, Cuff, I won't stand for a killing. Now, Nina's well enough to travel. You could start for Fort Wallace. We'd fix a bed and a wagon for
I'm
you.
I'm going to start for Wallace, all right. But not until I've seen Hank Lawson. Well, will you hold my gun?
Till you come back for it.
Thank you.
Oh, Cuff.
Yeah?
Chester and I were just talking about going up to the Longhorn for a drink. We thought maybe we might walk with you.
The company'd be fine, but it's my deal.
Sure.
See the marshal come along so he wouldn't get hurt.
I'm just here to see that no shooting starts, Hank.
Yeah. What's on your mind, Cuff?
I left my gun at the marshal's office.
So?
After you drop yours on the floor, I'm going to make you bleed.
Figure to take me with your fist?
That's right.
All right, boys, move back. Make a little room here. All righty, Cuff. Load my gun down.
Chester, just so Hank's friends don't get too excited and maybe want to help him out, move down to the end of the bar.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon?
There'll be no gunplay here, Hank. What's between you and Cuff, you'll settle yourself. Right in here.
That's good enough for me, Marshal. All right, little fella. Come and get it.
Now I'm going to take you apart, Lawson. Bit by bit.
That's the way you feel.
Get up, Lawson.
Hank.
Never mind, Marshal. He's going to fight with a knife. I'll fix me one, too. Yeah. Now, Lawson, if you're going to fight to cut, I'm ready. fight or drop it. Now get out of here. Because if I see you again before I leave, I'm going to finish what I started.
My gracious alive, I ain't seen anything like that since I left Waco.
Cuff, as soon as you got your breath, I'd like to buy you that drink I owe you.
Thank you, Marshal. I figure I could use it. Because my wife and me's got a long ride ahead of us.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from January 23, 1954. Wrapping up an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.